Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm so delighted to be here this Tuesday evening to share with you my thoughts. And also, we have a special guest and my co-host, Shirley Carter, is there. Shirley?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening for another Hot Topics.
Shirley, there's so much going on in the media, and a lot of times I just don't even watch television because I can't take it into my spirit because I'm busy being focused on the task at hand. This past weekend, we had millions protesting across the country and both nationally and internationally. And it seems as though that the U.S. is, the American people are in distress, but I think that we are the most resilient individuals on the planet, especially when it comes to the women. The women were marching, and, you know, my views on it, I've said it hundreds of times that, you know, the marching that's going on, I really can't grasp my mind around why march now when we were trying to get people to the polls. Nobody was seemed to be even helping get that facilitated. But I have a special guest, LaVonya Perryman, who is a political strategist and a broadcast journal and communication specialist. LaVonya, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so very much for having me on tonight.
I am delighted to have you. And, you know, maybe you should shed some light. And as I said, we're resilient creatures, and in biblically, we're referred to as the weaker vessels, but that's not true. We may be weaker
absolutely
when it comes
not
physically. Physically, we can't move a car, but we are stronger when it comes to mental and spiritual things. So if you could share some light on and your opinion as to this past weekend, what you've observed and what you feel would be the best thing for us as a people to move forward.
Well, I just want to say that I agree with you, Doctor, that and Shirley, that I asked the question before I was invited to speak at the National March, and I accepted the invitation, and I was glad to do that in Lansing, Michigan. But before I had to step back for a moment and ask the same question that you just asked. Where were all these women and men on November the 8th, or November the 7th, November the 8th? Where were they in October? Where were they in August in terms of mobilizing, organizing, and strategizing to make sure we had the right person in office? Now, people will argue that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, 3 million. But we lost certain states, which gave the electoral votes to Trump. So, but with all of that, if we had done what we are doing now, this is just my opinion, we would not be having this conversation. So I just want the record to show that I am under great pain when I talk about this issue. This is probably, I've been asked to speak about it probably every other day since the election. And it took me darn near a month before I was able even to talk about it. I declined so many interviews because I was actually in emotional distress. I didn't understand why because I have literally been in every campaign since Reverend Jesse Jackson, worked at every level, White House to the outhouse, as Reverend would say, worked at every level. I was press secretary. In fact, when Reverend Jesse Jackson announced that he was going to run for president, there was a little black girl from Detroit, Michigan, who worked with Mr. Ophel Dukes and a number of other people, Simeon Booker, to put the press conference together. That press conference that you guys saw where Reverend announced that he was going to run for office, that was one of my projects. That was so. That,
wow.
I share that just to give you an idea that I have literally been honored, I mean really honored and blessed, to be in the trenches with decision makers to really have some sort of, I guess, first up-hand, up-close and personal experience in history. So it never dawned on me that I would be facing such pain that I felt in the last 2 months. I never experienced it. I mean, we've lost some campaigns. I mean, there was Gore. I worked on that one. There was Kerry. I lost that one. You know, so it's not something that's new. But this was this was different, and not just different for me.
Different.
When I looked around with the people, the women, and Stephanie and Shirley was in Washington, D.C., when you looked around, there were people who showed up because they just did not know where to put that pen. And they felt, an allegiance, a need. They needed somebody to hug them and say, it's going to be all right, and I agree with you on that. It is going to be all right, but I don't know when. I actually don't, and I'm not going to say I'm a miracle maker, so I don't know how. All I know that I walked away from the march and said, I'm going to do what I can in my neighborhood, in my city, in my state. And I urge the other women who are listening, and the men too, if you do not want this to happen again, you have to participate on time. On time was in November. That's where I am in this conversation.
Yeah. So I'm not alone in this. I was saying I'm just baffled. I'm just stunned. Where was everybody when it came time to go to the polls? Where was everybody when we were, you know, broadcasting every week and even on Facebook saying, go out and vote, go out and vote? And then I got some responses saying, I did vote, but I don't think it made any difference. Well, that's the mentality that we're dealing with the American people. Evil prevails when good men and women do nothing. Edmund Burke said that. And for the most part, a lot of people aren't doing anything but talking. And the ones that did vote for President Trump to get in office, now they're frightened and shaking at the boots because it's like, oh, we didn't know he was going to do that, and we didn't know he was going to do it this way. But he was loose and unchained prior to getting in there. What did they think something would change? Because we got an all-Republican House. There's nobody there to buffer against him.
Maya Angelou said, a person tells you who they are, and you need to believe them. And, you know, I have people ask me today, well, you know, what do you expect of him? I expect of what I see. I do not expect anything of him. I just want people to understand, I don't think people are angry. They are hurt. People are in pain because we see in front of us a person who really has no allegiance to people of color, because once again, if you deal with politics, if you win, you go in and support the folk and you give out goodies to those individuals or those organizations who supported you. Well, we African Americans on a large scale did not support him. So why would we even think he thinks that he has to do anything for us? What's in it for him? Nothing. Nothing. So I'm not looking for anything from this man who's our 45th president, because I'm looking at what he has done not only for and has not done for other people. He said he was going to build a wall. If he could without his money, he would. He would. If he could, he would shut down maybe factories here in Detroit. He keeps saying, well, I'm going to save the people. Well, I keep thinking back about our history. let me think. They were going to save us in 1800s. They were going to save us in the 1900s. And you're talking about now all of a sudden there's another person who's going to save us in the 20th century? No. We have to save ourselves. And that's what I came out of that march about. I came out knowing that there were other women, didn't look like me. There were other, and there were men who were not me, who said, I am in pain, but I am not letting that pain get me to my knees. I'm going to get up and stand up and do something about it. And I'm saying every individual can do something. Don't make this mistake again. Do not stay at home. Get involved. And I want to say to all the party members, the Democrats, we have to be like pit bulls when we're fighting for the rights of people in America. We cannot walk around like little poodles and fight. We were fighting a demon. You know, we were fighting a demon with a toothpick. I mean, that's how I felt.
Well, you know what? I live here in South Florida, and we have the Obamacare, which is affordable. What is it? Affordable Care Act. And I got to tell you, the people that are recipients of that, they are trembling in their boots right now because they voted against themselves. They dislike President Obama so much, and they welcome the fact that President Trump said that he was going to abolish Obamacare and give them something totally different. It was going to be better. But better for who? Better for
yes.
who? So what happened is they wound up voting against themselves. And also, there was a post on Facebook where this guy was saying, I'm so glad Trump's in office now because of him, I have the Affordable Care Act and my payments are a lot better. Duh, the Affordable Care Act is Obamacare. So they voted against themselves.
It's amazing that they did a poll. You're absolutely correct. And just so you'll know, I've had difficulty watching television, too. I have yet, shame on me, and I was a news junkie up until, till December. But my point is, they actually, someone did a poll and said, "What would you rather have, Obamacare or the Affordable Act?" And they voted for Affordable Act, and they didn't know they were the same thing.
Right. Isn't that silly?
They had Obama's name on it.
You know, the whole point is that, like you said, it's because when people start calling it Obamacare, that people got turned off about a name because they were so against President Obama that they didn't want his name attached to anything that they felt they had to have, or that it would be a part of their circle, their life cycle, or whatever they wanted to call it. And that's, you know, but one thing that I tell people and I hear and I fail to is that people did not listen when Donald Trump told them who he was. He didn't hide any of that. He didn't, you know, so no one can say, well, I didn't know that. He told you, and that was the thing that got me the most about it, that this man stood up in front of everyone on television, news conference, whatever, his campaign, and he told everyone exactly who he was, and he's doing what he said he would do. And he said, I love the uneducated. They're loyal. And when you spoke about how they did the survey, those people were uneducated, but they were loyal. And now they're like, well, I didn't know he was going to do that. He told you he was going to do these things. Like some of the first things he's got in there and done with the PMI insurance, and also now the freeze on hiring through the federal government, that freeze affects everyone. And some of the simplest things that people have not computed in their mind, such as filing your income tax, Now, the federal government usually hire a lot of extra people doing income tax returns. They can't do that now. So if those that are listening, if you're used to getting your tax return filing like at the end of January and getting it back in 2 or 4 weeks or whatever, you're not going to get them that soon now. Now you may not get them into April, May, or June by filing in January because there's no extra help. And the simple things and important things such as testing our water, the environmental people, they can't hire anyone. And what usually happens when they put a freeze on, and Lavonia, you can attest to this too because you've been around government enough, that the ones who are close to retirement are going to retire because they're going to be pushed into this fear moment of, what if he cuts into my pension? What if he does this? Well, I got enough time, I'm going to get out while I can. And they're going to retire, and they're not going to replace them. So, meaning that the workforce is going to go down, which he's called himself, quote, downsizing federal government, and then the contractors are going to come in. But what people are not realizing, when you want to, quote, make government smaller, he wants to privatize government. So these contractors come in, they're going to charge more, and guess who's going to be left with the bill? We, the people, are going to have to pay that bill.
You are
it's
so right.
It's going to come out of our pocket.
You're so right. One of the things I was just reading as I was preparing for the show is that the Environmental Protection Agency is one of the agencies, of course, is going to go under freeze, and many of the contracts are going to be privatized. And guess what? It's going to impact here at home. In fact, our Congress people and senators, Senator Debbie Stabenow, asked the question, what is going to happen with the situation in Flint, Michigan? And frankly, out of the White House, they said, we are going to probably pull the money out of any situation that's going to be dealing with that situation in Flint. So it might be a closed case until we fight here on the local level, which will be very hard-pressed because, once again, the government here is also attached to the White House, which is also the Republican Party. But folk, I guess, just did not believe what they were watching on television. I'm sure in the beginning many of your listeners had said, this can't be real. This guy is going to fade away in 4 or 5 months, and we'll move on with the real politics of the world. And look where we are here today. I am one of those individuals that just did not and could not believe that the public, my friends and colleagues and other folk that I will never meet, would actually have this man in as the president of the United States. But as they have, as we've all said, anything can happen in America, and it has. Now the question is, what do we do about it, and what can we do? And I'm thinking that what we have to do is really go to the ground level. It's just like what President Obama said. He said we're going to have to gather up our clipboards and our pens and put on our sneakers and go back to the community and mobilize and energize and educate. One of the things we must do, I think we said it a little earlier, and we must educate individuals about the importance and the impact that politics actually has on their lives. I really struggled with this while I was in all the campaigns I've ever been in, trying to incite or encourage educate people about the connection between their daily life and politics, be it in the White House or in the State House or in City Council or in the Commissioner's Office. All of those individuals have influenced my life, and they will continue to influence our lives. But it's really difficult for me to convince the person who is not involved in politics every day that what happens at the ballot box impacts their pocketbook. It really does. Every day. Not one day, but every day. And trust me, I believe with Trump in office, this might be the wake-up call for America.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I believe this is all about, because nothing happens unless God allows it to be so. So a shaking is truly going on without question. I was reading in where he said that he told the auto plants there in Detroit that their regulations and their are out of control. and that he says he's going to shut down everything and they're going to just build in Detroit and hire more people. But what does that look like? And how, and hire them to do what? And what does that mean to them financially as far as income? Do you give them all minimum wage? Or, and you push out, like Shirley was saying, push out those that are close to retirement and then pay all, a whole group of people minimum wage, and then those that are already struggling, and what are you going to do, take away food stamps? And because minimum wage is not enough to feed a family of four or five.
You're so right, and the thing about it, if we just dig and drill down just a little bit in terms of the auto industry, the auto industry is computerized like the world is right now, and it takes more than when my dad started, you could have a high school education. Well, you know what? That was 60-some years ago. Today, you have to have a drug test, you have to have an IQ test, and darn near have to have a degree to work in the factory. And I'm exaggerating somewhat, but you're supposed to do that. And so that doesn't mean that everyone that he's talking about, my cousins and others, may be able to get a job if they removed all of the regulations. The question is, who will qualify for those particular jobs that he is saying that he will increase based on eliminating all of these regulations? That is the question. Who's going to be able to get in line and get a job? Will it be people of color? Be they red? Be they black? Or will they be white folk who are in line for the jobs? Again, and let me go back. What the big elephant in the room, I believe, is that it was so amazing that people were so disliked Obama for who he is and what he represents as a black man, that they would rather, like you just said, give up their firstborn child, give up all their rights to put someone in like Trump. So that, what does that say about America, though? I mean, we talk about how great we are, but as individuals, we have to look in the mirror and say, is this what we really wanted? And it's very scary to me. When this all occurred in the beginning, all I could think of was the night of the Jews when they broke the windows and broke out the, and stole all of their belongings and crushed all of their stores and defamed all of their synagogues. And all of that was done. And I felt the pain again of what they were feeling like when that all happened in the late 30s and the 40s. Here we are again. We're in 2017, and there are children who are frightened. Will they be sent back to Mexico? Will they be sent back to El Salvador? Will they be sent back to Africa? Those children are asking me in my classroom, what is going to happen to us? They're 8, 9, and 10 years old. So something is happening bigger than one individual. Another part that I think is frightening is that I have to speak for myself, did not know it was that many people who really disliked President Obama and other people of color and progressive ideas. I just did not know that.
Well, Lamont, you know, this dispensation we're living in, we intermarry, you know, yes, we're able to hold corporate jobs, but at the end of the day, there's still discrimination, there's still racism that exists. And I was sitting at dinner eating, and you know, like when you're in a restaurant, there's other people around you, and when you start talking, especially when you start talking politics and stuff, then Hispanic lady was sitting across, and I was like, yeah, Trump talking about he want to build a wall to keep all the Mexicans out. And the lady across, and she was like, and I'm so glad he going to build that wall because there's too many Mexicans coming in here. And I'm like, okay, you're Hispanic. You may not be Mexican, but you're Hispanic. Mm-hmm. If he wants to do that to them, what do you think he's going to do to you? Your relatives that are not legally born here, they're not going to be able to be here either, because that means all of you, everybody that is not legal will be considered an alien, and if you don't have your papers, you won't be getting them. Because he said he's sending everybody, or he's not just saying he's going to send Mexicans, he means everybody that does not have proper paperwork to live in the U.S. were going to be sent back to their country. It's just just baffles me, the mentality of individuals. They like,
and
oh, he's not talking about me.
Right, right. And I look at, they literally heard him say, and remember now, just for the record also, and someone said to me as I was talking about this, I read in the paper or on social media that they said 53%, at least 50% of white women voted for Trump. Now, I tried to wrestle with that and try to figure out how is it that they, if that's true, voted for him, and he said disparaging things about them every other day for a year. I couldn't wrap my head around that either. I just couldn't understand that either. And this is one of the few times, and thank you very much for allowing me to say these things and share them, because I'm sure there are other people out there who've asked the same question. And if anyone has an answer, we would probably like to know, why did that happen and how could that happen? Were they voting against black people? Were they voting for white people? Were they voting against progressive ideas? Where were they in terms of why they vote that way, if that's the case?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't have the answer for that. I mean, but that's one of the statistics. Now, I did have a young man say this. He says, Lavonia, why would you believe that statistic when all the others have been lies that Trump has put out? And so I say that. I want to clarify that. He made good sense. I said, well, right. If he says all the other polls are wrong, maybe that one is wrong too. But on Saturday, what I threw all of that out, and I asked the question today because I asked it on Saturday, and I asked it among women. Remember now, just so the record will also show, and Shirley can attest to this, majority of the women in the march were white women, our good sisters. And I say that,
yes,
with all the love I have. And I mean, that's a fact. And I'm just so pleased that I was asked and honored to be a part of it. I'm glad I did go. I mean, because it brought such faith in people again for me. Because if I had not gone to the march, I would probably be venting and be angry, but I'm no longer there anymore. I'm just trying to figure out what is the next step. What do we have to do collectively? If we could do what we did on Saturday, duplicate that in our communities, across the country, around the world, we once again will make a difference. And I'm here to tell you, we will not allow the 45th president to move this country back. I mean, I don't think that we will allow this. And I don't think I don't think men either will allow this to happen. It's going to be a battle now. This is not going to be an easy stretch. This is going to be a major fight every single day. Remember, we are not dealing with a person with a full deck, and their deck, and if they are, it's like they're selling snake oil. So we have to fight like pit bulls. I keep saying it. We have to be alert. We have to be on toes. We have to be focused. We have to be organized, and we have to be honest with one another. We really do. And we have to be able, if we're going to commit, we have to commit in a hard, tough way. This is not going to be an easy fight. We are in a battle for a progressive America. We really are. And progressive meaning that one that will have the best interest of all people, regardless of race, creed, or color. That's the kind of America that I was fighting for under Hillary Clinton. That's what I was fighting for. That is being true. Well, there are a group of men in the White House are trying to wipe that away, and they are laughing at us tonight, saying, "Oh, they really think the women really think they can make something happen." I'm here to tell them publicly, we are not going away. If we have to march every other Saturday, we will figure it out. But we're going to do other things to have impact to get our country back on where it should be. And like I said, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take time. My mother just asked me, she said, what else are you going to do? She's 91 years old. I said, it's going to take money, just so everyone will know that it does not – let me put it, freedom is not free. That's number one. women, not only march, you're going to have to run for office. So the young sisters out there, and even the senior sisters out there, if you decide that you want to do something in your community, mobilize, organize, and raise funds, and run for office. Take your chance. Leap out there. And like you said, it's got to be a leap of faith.
Definitely.
Those
and
of
I,
you that
I just
want to
follow
in, I'm
up.
Speaking with LaVonya Perryman. She's a veteran political strategist, a broadcast journalist, and communication specialist. And LaVonya, I want to thank you so much for joining us, as I said, to share your views and thoughts, especially with you being there as a game changer in your community. So, Shirley, you had a comment to continue with LaVonya?
Yes, I just wanted to tag on to the march in Washington and the number of women that were there. And I would say at least, 70% of them were white women, and with their husbands, their sons, their daughters, and there was like groups of men that were there with their signage and everything in support of the women. And it was a sea, it was like a wall of women. I too was like, where is that 53% that voted, supposedly voted for Trump? There's no way I could even wrap my mind around that after being at the walk. And said something else was wrong because these women did not vote for him. Where is he getting this 53%? And then I said, that poll, wherever he's getting it from, is not true. Because, and then I also went to the fact that if all of these people are marching, and it turned out there was a professor that did a study on the count, calculation, and he said one in 100 people marched. When you wrap your mind around that number of people, again, I myself asked the same question. Where were they on election day? Because this man is in office of signing executive orders before even going before Congress. He's wide open.
Right, and I say that we should be wide open. I think that we should be a little more radical about what we're doing. And I think something.
That is so funny. You were like, I think we should be.
I really do. I think that I shared with her, doctor, I shared with Shirley this morning or this afternoon. I said, you know what? He, meaning the 45th president, is refusing to share his taxes or show us his proof of his taxes, is paying his taxes or whatever. And I said, and I put it out there, that, well, gee whiz, we should put our taxes in escrow, and when he shows his, we pay ours. I mean, just that simple to me. And I'm saying at a point we have to say we are not going to let you roll over in our community and take everything away from us and just stand there, watch it go by like a parade. We cannot let it. This is not a parade. This is not a parade. This is something, I mean, and we've seen history. We've watched people in history say, oh, well, it'll be all right later on. You know, we'll just work it out. And look, history will tell us that did not work. Didn't work. So we have to be more progressive, more radical. And I think Saturday was a very progressive, aggressive move. And I'm telling you, it warmed my heart. It brought joy to my soul. It reinvigorated me in terms of being able to talk to you today. Because if you had called me last month, I was probably in a fetal state after work. I literally have to be honest. I went to work in the morning. I came at home at night, took care of my parents, did whatever I was supposed to do, and I was shut down. I was shut down. But I went there Saturday, and the sisters of all race, creeds, and colors, black, white, red, yellow, all of them, we embraced each other, and not physically, but we embraced each other by under one idea. that we were not going to let their rights or my rights be taken away by one man or one party. Just not going to happen. And I believe that the march was only the start of something, not the end. It's not the kickoff. We've been marching a long time. Most of us are over 40. And so we've been marching, and we know what that means. We come home and say, well, we don't just put up our handbags and our book bags and our sneakers and say, oh, well, we're going to have a tea. No, we're strategizing in our communities. I know women are doing that right now. There's a 10-point plan, a 10-point action plan that is on Facebook now under the Women's March. You can go to womensmarch.org. But if you type in Women's March, you will find where do you go from here? How do you do something in your community? And that's one, you get involved in your PTA, your school, your community, your city council, your mayor's race. You also can run. Believe it or not, you can run out there and win. It takes a little money. It takes a lot of votes, but you can do it. And it's not easy. None of this is easy. But we never said that, you know, the crystal, there was a crystal staircase. Not happening. But we can walk this mountain together, and I saw it happen on Saturday.
Shirley, what was your experience?
Oh my God, it was an experience of a lifetime to get there and to be among so many people. It gave you an empowerment feeling, hope. It allowed me to feel something I haven't felt in a long time since this campaign and all of this election and everything. It really gave me a strong feeling of hope that together we can make a difference and that we are going to be heard and we are going to turn some things around. Yes, he's been voted in, but he's going to hear our roar. And then those that are supporting as far as Congress, they're up and out of there. But we can't stop with the march. We got to keep resisting. The resistance is there, and the support that we have from around the world, it's like they're standing with us, that we have to resist. We have to, like, just like Lavonia said, we are pit bulls now. We're not lap dogs. We are pit bulls, and we got to stay in that mode. Because without that, we will be walked all over, and this country is going to fall back 50 years. Now, whatever men we had out there to support us, that's wonderful. But it's going to take the women to step up and lead this all the way. So we can make a difference in 2018 with the Congress in there that can control this man for the next 2 years after that 2018 election. These 2 years that we're getting ready to go through now, we need to make the point and make it well known that those that are in Congress, if they don't stand up for something, instead of laying down and allowing just the Republicans to run their gamut, some of those Republicans, well, all of them are going to be up for re-election.
That's right. Also, I like to say that we, as a group of people around the world, around the country, we should not let the idea go that we do not dip in and find out what is the relationship between Russia and Donald Trump. We should not let it go. Let's put it this way. Did they let it go about an email or two emails or three emails? It went on for 5 years. We had that discussion for 5 years. And we are here today, and I'm still talking about an email or two, and still nothing has evolved about that. That was purely propaganda. But my point is, we, if nothing else, because it's a fact now, we know there's a relationship between Donald Trump and Putin. That is a fact. So it's not like we're making this up. This is a fact. And I'm saying that should be threatening to the world. And I think that's what took the world. That's what women around the world, I mean, with that as your ground swelling, it was about this is not just a local issue. This is not about just America. This is about
some powerful men who want to take over not just the United States, but they want to take over all parts of the world. That was what I think was the undercurrent of all of this. And I don't want us to forget that that's what we should put out there every single day, that is a threatening relationship, not only to America, but to the world.
So I think that the reason why people came out in groves is because they feel that they were bamboozled, they were betrayed. And being that he's in office now, the protesters, they're not happy. They don't like it because they've been tricked. But really, at the end of the day, the bottom line is, if we don't get up out of our home and go to those polls and vote and stand in strong force, and because it says if we got to stand for something, we got to stand for what is right. And I shudder to think about the next generation. Where will it leave our teenagers that are coming up that will be adults and be in our positions? Are they going to be lackadaisical and say, well, I'm not going to vote, it don't mean nothing anyway, it never changes anything? And then what we have is a revolving door, and we go right back to the beginning where our ancestors and Dr. King fought for us to be free, fought for us to be able to vote, fought for us to hold positions in high offices, even the President of the United States. All this will be snatched away simply because we're lazy and have a nonchalant attitude. My vote don't matter anyway. I'm just one person. But when one person becomes 1,000 and 2,000, 3,000 to 1,000,000 people, yes, your vote does count.
You make it so clear to me. And you know what? You said a key word that I think you're absolutely correct. To wrap this all up in a nutshell, I think America, the world, feels that they have been bamboozled by a snake oil person, by one who is selling a bill of goods and has sold it and has moved it forward. It's almost like in the Western. He goes to one little town to another, and he sold them on a bill of goods, and now he's about to dismantle, and they now find out it's nothing but vinegar and water. They've been bamboozled.
Hmm.
And I think that the wake-up call, once again, based on history, remember when they said let them eat cake? It was women who got up and said, oh, no, we are not going to allow this to happen. We're going to feed our children. We're going to feed our families. And they marched down the street in France. They marched. The person who moved people from the south to the north was a black woman, Harriet Tubman. She moved folks and moved the nation forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about just women. We were looking out for our families. Somebody had to do it. History tells us that many times, like Harriet Tubman, Dorothy I. Height, C. Dolores Tucker, you know, so many women, I mean, black women, white women, have moved this country forward. And sometimes it just takes the mother to move the family forward. And dad comes a running. I mean, and it's all about the family. I really believe that. It really is. And I want men who are listening to understand this was not just about the women at the march. It was not just about women today. Anything and everything we really do, and we don't say it out loud, but most times women are thinking of their families, and they're thinking of the man that is close to them. It could be their dad, they could be their husband, or their brother, and that is a fact. So each time we come along, you just follow us. We got your back because you got ours, and that's what I think happened. We were bamboozled, and I really believe people got caught off guard because we really believe it. You heard it up until the last minute. It just can't happen. It is not going to happen. The American people are wise. They know better. This is not going to happen. But it did.
It did. Yeah, you know, when I woke up the next morning, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a where there was a hurricane or a tornado, and how it would go through and rip up an area, and the eerie feeling, or if you ever been in a home where someone just died and you walked in and you there's an eerie feeling that something is off balance. That's what it was like for me that next morning. It was like, it's eerie. It was like the world had stopped.
I agree with you. And I'm sure your listeners are saying, shaking their heads up and down, saying, that's how I felt. It was like I was in a, I was like having an out-of-body experience. I was in pain. I never felt that kind of, and I was in pain. I was sad. I wasn't angry. It was just unbelievable. And you're right. It's like going into a home and you know that the person that you loved is no longer there. And you're going to pack up the things because they're not coming back. And you're like, you don't say anything. It's just, it's very painful to do it. But you know you got to get up, go to work, do whatever you have to do, take care of the kids, get everybody ready. But you are walking in a world that is, has been changed. I mean, everything changed that day. And I'm sure not, I mean, and regardless of race, regardless of income, regardless of education, I can tell you probably all your listeners, not all, many of your listeners would agree with you. That feeling came over many of us the next day because it just was not believable. I mean, we've never had, regardless of the party, I mean, we had Bush in, we had Reagan in, we moved on. We moved on, and we did not agree, but we moved on in our lives. We worked things out. I was like, I almost stopped in my tracks. It was almost like I could not move the next day, and I'm like, this is not normal. We got to get up, and I'm saying back to the march. That march on Saturday reinvigorated me and said, you know what? And we were very honest with one another, the women. We, many of us felt like you. We felt and felt like me. And we said, okay, time out. We've come out of mourning and we got to do something. And remember, President Obama said, okay, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 weeks to mourn. But after a point, you got to get up, get your clipboard, and get busy and make a change. That's what he said. And I'm with him. I got my clipboard, 2 or 3, and I got my pens, and I bought me some brand new sneakers. It's going to be a long haul, but I'm in this race till the finish.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I tell you what, I said, by the time my president finished his speech, I said, even the Republicans going to miss him. He's going from an eloquent speaker as him that was like the Pied Piper that broke barriers and tore down strongholds and stood erect with no fear in his body. And just, it was just like, and then you go to, believe you me.
Yes.
It's like, okay.
Republicans now today, they must say, even those who might not have voted for him, President Obama in 2008 or 12, could say that he gave it his all. He was a gentleman, he was a scholar, and he was one of the best presidents we've ever had in the history of America. Now that is a fact. That's a fact.
Yes. Yeah.
He gave it all. He left it all, as they say, he left it all on the field. And even though he had to take a little rap from black people because many people thought he should have been the president of black people, but he was the president of the United States of America.
Of the people.
Yeah.
And
he was for all the people. Yeah, we had pastors telling their members, that he was not representing the Lord because he that gave validation to gays. And all he simply said was they were human and created equal, that we all have the right to be equal.
Yes.
That's what he said. He was the people's president. And let's face it, every last one of us has somebody in their family that is in a gay relationship or has come out of the closet. And there's not a family, I don't think, on this planet who hasn't been affected by cancer or know someone who has AIDS. These are plagues and things that affect our family. So what are we going to do? Say, oh, they're taboo. We're going to do like they did in the Bible days and say they're leopards and put them away in a cave. No, this is America, the land of the free, where all men are created equal. That's what was written on the paperwork, the Declaration of Independence. This is what we stood and we are fighting for, that we march for, that we've given our lives for. We're on the front line fighting for our freedom. And you saying that the fight isn't worth it? You not voting is saying, why did you shed your blood? Why did your family member die in battle? It's not worth it? Really? Where have we gone as the American people? Are we in caves hiding? Are we under our beds? Are we shut up in our rooms and our homes and closets? Where have we gone? Where is the proud? Where is the free?
And where is the brave? And the thing
moreover,
about it also,
where is the brave?
Right. What I'd like to know is, I would like for people to tell me, what will it take for me to convince them and flip it around, to show them the importance of their vote or their involvement in their community, that everything, even if the person who did not get up on Tuesday to vote, that person who said, I am not going to vote, I wouldn't give a hoot, doesn't matter to me, today on, what, January the 24th, their life is being impacted by what's happening in Washington. Today, that person who did not vote in November, in January, they're having the same drama as we are having. Same drama.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're in the same boat in terms of health care, in terms of the environment, in terms of climate, in terms of jobs, in terms of entrepreneurships around the country. All of that, they're in the same boat. That person who says, oh, my vote doesn't count, well, this is what happens. We all end up in the same place, on the same block, on the same street. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to change. We have to understand that we have power. I think I would love to help people empower themselves. And that one vote, on that one day, we are basically all equal. Just think about it. On that one particular day, for those however many hours, we all are equal. And we decide not
powerful.
To advance it. Yeah. One day. That's the one day we all. Now, that's the day we can all say we are one. That's right. And that's what I think we need to instill in, like you said, the young and those who feel disenfranchised, those who say, well, my paycheck is not going to change. Well, it could, and it might, and maybe you don't know, but maybe it has. You have situations like unemployment, tax increases, the cost of oil increasing or decreasing. Remember, one of the lowest points of gasoline in the country was under President Obama. I'm waiting for this summer under President 35. I'm going to see what happens. To realize we are really in the same boat. I mean, regardless of whatever income or whatever we're doing, at the end of the day, after the vote is in, we all are going to be impacted by what happens. Everybody.
Well, LaVonya, what is your next move, you know, given the platform that you've been blessed to be a part of? Well, where do you go from here and that we may follow?
Well, like you said, I am very blessed, and I really feel that, and I feel honored to be able to share with you and others
and to share what I've done in the past for the future. And I always try to look forward after I get out of the bed, being comatose. But once I get up and get out and get moving, I go full speed ahead. And I had decided, I wrote some things down. I said one of the things I was going to do is try to figure out how to get other people to vote and feel empowered. How, first of all, you got to help people feel empowered. Help them understand that they do have power in that one vote, that one day, that one time. And that one vote, that one time impacts their overall life and their family's lives. And so that's my challenge and my struggle. As a communicator, I'm going and doing PR as you guys do. I'm trying to figure out what can I do to help move the message forward, help and help people feel, because I think part of it is feeling how you want. Because we felt, Shirley and I, during the march, we had a feeling. We felt warm. We felt good. We felt empowered on Saturday. So if we could translate that and move it to other people one at a time or as groups, that's one of the things. So I want to try to find a way to encourage people to get involved in the voting process. Number two, I want to assist individuals in my community. I do not think that, you know, I'm a miracle maker, so I stay in my little circle unless I'm asked to come out somewhere else. But in my community, to encourage other people to get up and run for office. And it could be women. It could be men. It doesn't matter to me what color. It just matters what their policy and what their commitment is, in terms of what their commitment is to people around them and for them. So those are the two things I'm going to do, is try to encourage people to get involved in the voting process, and two, to encourage other people to get involved and run for office and try to make a difference in office.
Wow, that is powerful. Thank you so much. Our special guest, Lavanya Perryman, and thank you so much, Shirley, for referring her and bringing her to the show so that we can be exposed to her and her wisdom. And I'd like to close out tonight with Marion Williamson's prayer. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And that's what it's all about today. And I thank you so much, Lavanya, for, you know, joining in and encouraging us to stand up as queens as we are and be bold about it, walk without being fearful, being resilient as we always have from generation to generation. And I honor and I salute you.
And I salute you back, and I salute all the other sisters who are listening and those who are coming behind us. And I agree with you. We are all children of kings and queens. And thank you and good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Lavanya. Good night. Good night.